This morning's reading is from Psalm 55, and that's page 575 if you want to follow along in the Pew Bibles. Psalm 55, starting to read at verse 16. As for me, I call to God, and the Lord saves me. Evening, morning, and noon, I cry out in distress, and he hears my voice. He rescues me unharmed from the battle waged against me, even though many oppose me. God, who is enthroned from of old, who does not change, he will hear them and humble them, because they have no fear of God. My companion attacks his friends. He violates his covenant. His talk is smooth as butter, yet war is in his heart. His words are more soothing than oil, yet they are drawn swords. Cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken. But you, God, will bring down the wicked into the pit of decay. The bloodthirsty and deceitful will not live out half their days. But as for me, I trust in you. This is the word of the Lord.
Are you ready? Give me one more second. So, as many of you know, we've been looking at prayer starting last week. That's our theme for this Lent. Lent is a time of prayer, so we thought it's a great time to talk about prayer as well and try and go deep in our life with prayer. And today's theme is prayer rhythm or a rule of life. And a rule seems, when we kind of hear rule, it's like, oh no, rule again. And kind of church and rules, we kind of rebel against rules. We don't like commandments. We don't like to be told what to do. But actually, this whole idea of a rule of life is something that some monks picked up 1,500 years ago, so a long time ago. They started thinking, well, actually, if I leave my prayer life to myself, just to my kind of, oh, I'm going to pray when I think of it, or when I want to do it, I basically never do it. So they thought, well, okay, let's try and put in some discipline, a bit of rules into our lives to be able to pray more. And so it comes, St. Benedict, which was kind of the father of this movement, said, a rule of life is simply a handbook to make the very radical demands of the gospel a practical reality in our lives. So this is what we're going to be talking about today. And I'm going to start by sharing a bit on the psalm we've just read and a few verses that kind of spring out to why is it so important to pray. I know, like, as Christians, we know, what are we supposed to do? Supposed to pray, read our Bibles, and help people around us. That's kind of, the in a nutshell, what people think of when we think of being a Christian. But then, why do we pray? And this is a few things that I've picked up. It says in our psalm, as for me, I call to God, and the Lord saves me. And we pray because God answers to our prayers, because when we call, he does something about it. Then it says, he rescues me unharmed from the battle waged against me. Again, God looks after us. God protects us. And then in this same passage, it says, we speak to a God who does not change. It's a God who will always do what he said he would do, and therefore he's trustworthy of our prayers. He's worthy of us spending time with him. We also find in this passage that at the end it says, cast your cares on the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken. And that's, I love that phrase, he will sustain you. He will be there for you. But we are called also to cast our cares. So there's always this bit of we call out and he responds. We cast our cares and he sustains us. And I love it that in the middle of the Psalms, a psalm, and this is kind of a common theme in the Bible, the psalmist just says, He's talking about other people, and he says, but as for me, I trust in you. But as for me, I choose to trust in you, God. I choose to trust in what you say. I choose to trust in that you're going to do what you said you would do. I choose to believe in you. I choose to put my life in your hands, because he will sustain us and everything we've just seen. And as I was thinking about a prayer and why to pray, I remembered this verse, which I love. And it says in Philippians, it says, in all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this. And this is what Paul is very confident, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. And what that means is that God is carrying a work in us. What that means is God is building us up. What that means is that God is preparing us and working on us. And that's why a rhythm of prayer is very important, because we are letting God do his work in us. As we spend time with him, we let God do his work in us. And that's why we need discipline, because if we don't kind of set a pattern of doing things, we'll never pray. A year ago, when Sammy was born, I basically stopped doing sport. And many of you know why, because I couldn't sleep, I had two kids, just had no time at all, very busy at work, and just kind of stopped doing sport for quite a few months, more than I'd like to confess. But after like 7-8 months, I suddenly thought, well, I have to do something about this. And I realized that I won't naturally say, oh, what am I going to do, watch Netflix or go out for a run? Oh, yeah, I'm going to go out for a run, much much better, much easier. I'm really rested and happy to go out for a run at 9 o'clock at night. Of course not. And I'm not a morning person, so I kind of hate people who say, oh, I just wake up an hour earlier and go out for a run. Yes, I can't do that, sorry. I've tried it. I did like 3 times in my life. Never done it again. If I get an hour's more sleep, I'll negotiate anything. Tell me, give me all your money in your bank account and you have an extra hour for sleep. I'll say, yes, here you go. Transfer £1,000 for an hour. Like, I'm not rational in the morning at all. But I realize that if I don't set a rule, I don't set some kind of discipline, I'll never do it. So what I've been trying to do and doing more often than not is doing sport twice a week, which isn't kind of the ideal compared to when I was 18 when I could do like 5 times a week, but at least twice a week do some sport, either go swimming or running or play some kind of sport, football, tennis, twice a week. And what I try to do is, if by Sunday I haven't done my two, then on Sunday I'll have to do my run, which means tonight after the 6, I'll have to go out for a run because I just did one this week. But I try and put those rules into my life, because if not, I'll never do it. And as you know, that's the same thing with our prayer life. If we don't put a rule in or some kind of discipline, we will probably never do it. And why is it so important? Because it's letting God complete his work in us. It's letting God build us up. It's letting him create in us the fruit of the Spirit. It's letting him make us the people who we are called to be, become who he has dreamed of who we could be. And that's why it's so important. It's important to look after, obviously, our physical, our mental, our emotional, but also our spiritual life. And in my first sermon here, I shared a legend, and I'm sure a lot of you won't remember, it's now 3.5 years ago, but I think it's very adequate to our sermon today, and that's the legend of a Canadian, it's a Canadian legend of a tribe in Canada, and this is obviously not a true story, but it's a great image. And the legend says that there was this chief in this community, in this tribe, and his grandson came up to him, and the grandson came up and said, Grandpa, I've got a problem. The problem is, I want to do good things, but I end up doing bad things. I do my best to do good things, and for some reason, I end up making bad choices. And the grandpa said, well, the problem is, The thing is, you have two wolves inside of you. You have a good wolf and you have a bad wolf, and they're fighting inside of you the whole time. I'm going to put my wolf picture now. And they're fighting inside of you the whole time. And the kid said, yeah, but who's going to win the battle if they're fighting? And the grandpa said, well, whoever wins the battle, that's what you're going to do. So the kid said, okay, I want to do the good things. How can I do that? And he says, who's going to win the battle? And the grandpa said, whoever you feed the most. So if we want to let God work in our lives, if we want to let God kind of make us the people who we are called to be, maybe the best version of ourselves, then we need to feed our lives with his Spirit. And that's what we do through prayer. So our psalm today and the heart of what I want to share is this verse, which is in the middle of our psalm, and it says, evening and morning and at noon I will pray and cry out, and he shall hear my voice. And I love this because whenever the Bible talks about prayer, it always says he hears our voice. It's always that response of God with us. So evening and morning and at noon, I don't know why he got the order all wrong, but evening, morning, noon, I'll pray. And this kind of prayer rhythm is what we find in the Old Testament. Daniel, it says, prayed three times a day. Here we find this. It's quite a normal thing to see in the Old Testament. But now we are kind of part of the New Testament where there's no real rule about how to pray, how much, when. We'd kind of love to have rules because it's easier. It's easier if God said, okay, you have to spend 15 minutes with me every morning and then we try and stick to that. But the Bible doesn't say that because we're now in a space where we actually call to be in God's presence, to be with him the whole time. And Paul says, pray without ceasing. And that doesn't mean you have to be kind of saying the Lord's Prayer all day, but there's this kind of communion with God during the whole day. He lives in us. He is with us the whole time. So there's an invitation to be relating with him the whole day. So I'm going to invite us to think of three things this morning. And one of it is basically what Peter preached last Sunday, so I'm not going to talk too much about it. And to help us have a rhythm in our prayer life. And the first one is what Peter was sharing last Sunday, which is practicing the presence. That is basically is being aware of God during the whole day. And there's many ways we can do that, but doesn't mean we have to be praying the whole day. So it's a bit like, you know, when you go on holidays with someone or with your family or growing up with your family, when you go on holidays, you're basically 24/7 together, isn't it? Like you're all day or even when you're driving somewhere, if you have to go somewhere on a long trip and you're 5 hours in the car or 8 hours in the car, you're all the time together and you know you're together, but you don't need to be chatting the whole time. That'd be really tiring, wouldn't it be? Like, thank God we don't have to be speaking the whole 24/7 holiday, like it drives us bananas. But you are together, and every now and then there's a comment, there's something, you're either listening to music together, or reading a book together, or walking in a beach, or walking in a mountain, or just at home, or watching a film, you're together. And that's what practicing the presence is. It's just being aware that God is with us and every now and then having some kind of reminder. And a friend of mine who works in a school said that what he would do was, in the school there was this massive tree in the middle of the playground. So and there was kind of classes on both sides. So whenever he saw that tree, he'd remember God. So whenever he saw that tree, he would kind of either say a prayer of thanks or just remember that God was with him. So every day he had that reminder a few times in the day where he could see the tree and say, yes, God is with me. And that can be something different for all of us. The second thing about kind of having a rhythm is praying with others. It's not easy to pray many times, and it's easier to pray with others. It's easier to gather. That's why we come to church every Sunday, because we gather and we worship together and we listen to God's words together and we pray together, basically because it's much easier as well. There's a lot of benefits to it, but it's easier. It's easier to spend, like now we're going to spend today, Juan said an hour, I think it's more an hour 20. Sorry about that. But we're going to spend an hour 20 with God together, praying and worshiping and listening to his word and having communion. And that's much easier. It's feeding our spiritual life. It's feeding our relationship. It's building up who we are called to be in God. And that works also for prayer meetings and house groups and having a cup of coffee with another Christian. It just feeds us, and it makes it easier. But the main thing I want to share is this, what I call minimum requirement. And I always remember this minimum requirement because when I was growing up, I was a massive fan of a football video game. And Sonia always laughs because you don't really play. You're a manager, but the players play for you, so you don't do much. But I've been playing for this for like 25 years, maybe. I was playing it like 3 weeks ago, which is a bit ridiculous, but I love it. But what I remember with this video game was that I always had to check, because at the back when you bought it, it had a minimum requirement. I had to check if my computer was good enough for it. And sometimes it meant I had to wait a few years till we upgraded the computer to be able to play like the latest version. I was playing the version like 3 years before. But I always remember that minimum requirement because it just stuck in my head that sort of, this is the minimum we require. And I've decided to apply that to my life, a bit like the discipline of minimum two days of sport a week. Is I've decided to have a minimum requirement of time I spend with God every day. And that's basically my alone time. Because I work in church, I could easily kind of fill it in quite quickly. Like today I have like 6 hours because of all the services, but that's not fair. But it's my alone time. It's my time just alone with God. And it doesn't matter how much that is, but I try to fill it in every day in different ways. So it might be reading the Bible. It might be sitting down and worshiping. It might be putting my son to bed and just when he's quiet, I get to pray, get to spend 15 minutes praying for him or with him. I get to, when I walk my dog, that's a good one. When I haven't done very many minutes, it helps to go out for a walk with a dog. Very easy, grab the dog, go out, nothing else to do, 20 minutes, and I get so much useful stuff done in those 20 minutes. But praying is one of them, because you're just walking around and don't meet anyone, so I'm just have that time. But the question is, what is your minimum requirement? And is that something you'd like to think about, to be able to set that time apart, even if it's varied, even if it's not, say, half an hour altogether, even if it's one day reading and one day walking the dog and one day worshiping and one day just sitting down and listening to worship music? It can be different things, but it's quite good to have that because, remember, we are building ourselves to be the people God calls us to be. We're building the most important relationship we have in our lives, our relationship with God. And when I started being a Christian when I was 16, my minimum requirement was I had a box of verses that had little verses in it, and I'd just pick one out, and I'd read one verse. And that was the minimum I'd do every day. So I knew when I was going to bed, it took me literally 15 seconds, but I had that minimum requirement. And hopefully, and I think through the years, that minimum requirement has increased. I've updated my versions and done it more. But wherever you are, maybe if you don't have a minimum requirement, then maybe start with something small and then grow from there. But just remember, we are building who we are in Jesus. So this is the heart of what I wanted to share, and I feel it's very important because it is who we are called to be, and we are creating and building who we are in God. And when we pray, we usually ask, like, God, is it your will for you to do this? Is it your will to do that? But when we pray about our spiritual life, about being more full of his presence, with more fruit of the Spirit, with more gifts, like, that's what God wants. That's what he says he wants us to have. So that's a kind of prayer that he will always answer, because that's his will. That's what he wants to do in us. He wants us to be more fruitful. He wants us to be more the people he's calling us to be. And as I was thinking of this, I thought of two people in the last few years that have kind of struck me. And one is a guy who was a curate here is called Mark Mellowish, and he came to give a talk on prayer here a few years ago. And I don't know what it was, because I don't think that the talk was super great or anything too new, but there's something about him that I found really attractive. There's something about him as a person that I thought, I want to be more like him. And then when he was sharing, he said that in his church he was known as a man of prayer. And then I understood what it was that was so attractive about him. It wasn't that he gave the best talk. And then I heard him again, and he gave good talks, and then another talk, it wasn't very engaging. But it wasn't the talks that I was attracted to. It was his way of life. It was something about him. It was his relationship with God. It was what God was doing through him and in him. It's kind of the presence of God in his life. And he got that because he was spending time with God. And I know we know that God is everywhere, and sometimes it's people find it strange when we pray, "Come, Holy Spirit." Well, Holy Spirit is already here if he's everywhere. But there's kind of a distinction between God's presence everywhere and his manifest presence, is when he starts manifesting himself, he starts working in our lives. And that has to do with how much we let him do that. And having a discipline of prayer is letting him do his work in our life. Do you get like the difference between manifest presence and presence? Like God is everywhere, and when we come into a room, he's here. But when we say, "Come, Holy Spirit," we're not saying, "You weren't here, now come in. Now you're welcome because we said you can come." It's actually we are giving him the space for him to work in our lives. We're saying, "We want you to work. We are open for you to work. We are doing our bit and expecting you to do yours." And the other person, and Mark Mellowish is one of the leaders of New Wine, so is very much on the charismatic side. But the other person who really struck me, and I didn't understand why until I was preparing this sermon, is a guy called Phil North. And Philip North is someone who's an advocate for working for people with lower incomes, and he's done great work in kind of making the Church of England think about this and shift the way of thinking, and a very strong prophetic word against like these dioceses that have billions of money, and saying you have to get rid of that money, not get rid, spend it on helping those in need. And there's something about him, again, that I found really attractive. And he's much more of a kind of Anglo-Catholic, more traditional way of doing things. But again, there's something really attractive, and that was the presence of God in him. There's something that when he spoke, I was like, wow, I want more of that. I don't know if you sometimes feel that kind of, I want that. I want what that person has. I want that presence that person has. It's something that's so attractive about them, and it's the presence of God in them that we say, that's what I want, and we kind of start to feel a bit hungry for that. We start of like, yes, that's the fire I want. That's the life I want in me. And actually, there's only one way to do that. There's only one way to get that more manifest presence of God, to let God work in us. There's only one way, and that's spending time with God. And if you're like me, if we don't get a rhythm, if we don't do it in a way that's kind of organized, we will never do it. If we don't put it into our discipline and our pattern and our rhythm of life, then we'll probably never do it. And last week we were looking at Ezekiel 47, which is one of my favorite passages in the Bible. And it talked about going deeper in the river of God, and it says, wherever the river flows, life will flourish. So if we want life to flourish in our lives, in the ministry, in the things we do, in our church, then we need to go deeper in that relationship with God. And I think the only, or the best way, unless you're kind of those people, those really annoying people that find it very easy to go out for a run, very easy to pray, very easy to do all these things everyone else finds hard, unless you're like that, and you're more a bit more like me, that you'd rather just lie on the couch and watch telly, then you need to do something about it. You need to put a minimum requirement. You need to start a rhythm and a pattern to let God do his work in our lives. And then we'll probably become a bit more like those people that others say, oh, wow, there's something in them. There's something that they have, something in the way they act, in the way just around them, in the way they look, in the way they talk, in the way they embrace us, and that's the presence of God. And that's what we all called to do, and that's the amazing adventure of being Christians. That's where the river flows and it flourishes. That's where we go from being a Christianity of rules and boring and kind of annoying that people don't want to come to a Christianity where there's a river that flows and where there's salt, it just changes it and gives life to people around us. And that's our calling. So I'd like to invite us to just settle for a few minutes and in silence pray and ask God to help you find a rhythm into your life. And then maybe in the week you can think about it a bit more. Well, you know, we are not great at giving you the priority and the space we'd like you to have. You know that we love you and we want to do our best. But we are not great, Lord, and we don't give you time and space. And even though we, in our will, you are the first and you are the most important thing in our life, we find it difficult to give you space. And I pray, God, that you'll give us hunger for your presence, Lord. That you'll help us be disciplined in our lives. You'll help us find space for you. Lord, you'd help us find a rhythm that works for us and for you in our relationship together. A rhythm that's not copied or formulaic or what other people do, but it works for us as we are, as you created us. And Lord, that rhythm will grow. And that we'll be able to swim in your presence, Lord. That we'll be able to hunger for more of you, Lord. That we'll be able to be the people you've created us to be. Lord, we see people that have so much of your manifest presence, that spend so much time with you, that have been changed by you. And we want to be like them. Help us, Lord. We need you. We can't do this by ourselves. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will manifest your presence amongst us to help us be the people you've called us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. And we're going to continue with the time of communion, because communion is another way in which we feed ourselves as we remember what Jesus did for us, as we come together and remember together what he's done for us and let him move in our lives. And I'm going to invite you today, when you come to communion, to, as you feed on the bread, just to say, God, I want to feed on you. I want you to fill me. I want you to change me. Symbolically, I'm letting you fill me and change me. And as we come to communion, it's always good to start with a little time of confession. So if you'd like to spend a minute just confessing or praying to God, and then we follow up.